truth.
Stop the Presses. Mark Anderson, your host, coming back to you live as of today, November 1st, 2021. I'm joined by Ron Avery. We are, as a footnote, not doing the video simulcast today. We didn't quite have things, you might say, lined up for that. So that'll probably come Wednesday, when I expect to have National Health Federation leader and all-around health expert Scott Tipps on the show. He publishes Health Freedom News, and he's heads up the National Health Federation. They publish Health Freedom News, and Scott is a participant on Codex Alimentarius. Of course, that's that UN-connected effort to over-regulate on a global scale foods and supplements, redefine supplements as drugs, make them much more expensive. And Scott has been in there fighting, playing the sanity card, you might say, putting some common sense into the deliberations of the Codex meetings. And I remember going to Ottawa, Canada, and it will be 10 years ago this coming spring. And with Scott and my wife, Angie, I attended a Codex Alimentarius hearing or meeting in that federal capital city of Canada. And it was interesting, very detailed, and it kind of felt like a UN General Assembly sort of thing. But Scott is an expert in many ways. He's very, very insightful, and he'll be on the show Wednesday. At least that's the penciled-in guest. He's a very busy guy, but that's the expectation. Anyway, with that announcement there, how you doing, Ron?
Oh, real good. Glad to be with you.
Yes, I'm just getting off the road. My annual sojourn, and I go from Texas to Michigan every May or June, and back to Texas every October. And just got off the road. I stayed a couple weeks longer than usual in my original home state of Michigan, so I'm still a little burned out. It's still a little bit of what does this button do? Where does this doorknob go? It can be kind of tiring on the road. At any rate, I paid some of Joe Biden's gas prices, not the funnest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
But I did find some cheaper prices, somewhat more tolerable in Arkansas. That's the best place compared to Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Arkansas, and Texas. Arkansas had the cheapest gas prices. That's just another footnote. Wow. But Ron, you were telling me off the air that Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, the imposter in chief, tyrant in reality, so-called leader, his press secretary supposedly has COVID, and I was reading up on it, and we won't spend a lot of time on this. Of course, nobody in the Biden bunch is worth much of our time and energy unless it's something really pressing. But this one, you can't help but wipe your feet on it, at least, you know, a quick chuckle. And it says here, this is the CBS News Online, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Sunday, that's yesterday, October 31, maybe it's a Halloween trick, that she had tested positive, there's those words, Ron, those august words from the media, tested positive for COVID-19 days after pulling out of the president's overseas trip due to a family emergency. Psaki is vaccinated. I repeat, Psaki is vaccinated. I'm hanging on those words. And she said she is only experiencing mild symptoms. Psaki said it, Psaki, however you say her name, if it's Psaki, it sounds like Japanese wine, right? Psaki, yes, said in a statement on Sunday, that's yesterday, that That emergency was members of my household testing positive for COVID-19. So it's not just her, it's her household. So she couldn't go on the overseas trip with Biden, who's in Scotland now at the COP26 climate summit to get us back in the Paris Agreement while our border melts to the south. In fact, about 15 miles from where I'm sitting. I continue. Since then, Psaki said, as quoted by CBS News, I have quarantined and tested negative via PCR for COVID on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. However, yesterday, I tested positive. Imagine that, Ron. Negative Wednesday, negative Thursday, negative Friday, negative Saturday. She's testing every day here, but none of those negatives must have been accurate because she tested positive yesterday, and you'll notice that only that one is kind of seen as valid. You know, all those negatives were just stepping stones along the way. It's as if she was testing until she tested positive.
Yeah, and what I read was that it was the PCR test, and I was under the belief that PCR tests took a while to perform. It's not the quick test. You know, they have two of them. They have the fast one, and then they have this quick. I mean, they have the quick one, and then they have this long one. And a PCR test is supposed to be the long one, but I don't know how long. But anyway, you know, here's a side note too. She reminds me. I was just looking at a picture of her online, and it brought back memories of that show, Absolute Power, with Clint Eastwood. She looks like the press secretary for the Gene Hackman, the guy, the bad news president, does all this dirty deeds and shoots his mistress or something. It was bad news. But anyway, she even reminds me of her a little bit.
Yeah, that's a curiosity to say the least. You know what I'm seeing here, though, Ron. And she went on to say, while I have not had close contact in person with the president or senior members of the White House staff since Wednesday and tested negative for 4 days after the last contact, I am disclosing today's positive test, that's yesterday, out of an abundance of transparency. Not just out of transparency, but out of an abundance of transparency. What a bunch of flowery words. I last saw the president on Tuesday, that'd be a week ago tomorrow, when we sat outside more than 6 feet apart and wore masks. You know what's going on here, Ron? The fact of the matter is since something medical is generally private, she's making it public for the so-called reasons that she's stating. One of two things are happening. Either she really does have the so-called virus, and the irony is she's already been vaccinated, but they're saying, oh, but that makes the symptoms mild. Or this is a con job, and she never tested positive for anything. She may or may not have had the mRNA jab, and maybe this is just more of that reinforcement that they do for propaganda. You know, this is real. Yes, you get your test. You're supposed to test every day. This is what you're supposed to do. And I may have been vaccinated, and I tested positive anyway, but now I have very mild symptoms, and that's what that shot does. If it doesn't prevent COVID all the way, you'll only have mild symptoms. So she's selling this. Whether it's true or not is maybe secondary, but they're still trying to sell this narrative that, yeah, maybe you still will get COVID if you get the shot, but it'll only be a mild case of COVID, and so therefore the shot and the boosters are still worthwhile. So I sense some salesmanship or marketing going on. Yeah. And so whether it really happened the way she's saying, the marketing is real.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things that I pick up, too, is that it's all about protecting the president. You know, she might have COVID, and she's right near the president. No way could we do without the 10 seconds of the president's glorious aura over the country. I mean, what would we do if the president caught COVID? I mean, really? I mean, I think we could handle it.
We might even have a secure border.
By accident. You know,
yeah, just by happenstance, and I'll take it. I'll take that. I'll take a secure border, even if it was sort of happenstance.
Sure.
Sort of just fell in our lap, you know. And I'm not belittling the office of the presidency, the august office of the presidency at 1600. But Biden is a shameful tyrant who, as we said the other day when I called into your show, and then you took the captain's seat on my show this past Friday, and I called in. As we were saying on both those days, last Thursday and Friday, that's a little tip for those that go to the archive. You know, Biden is in Scotland for COP26 along with these other so-called leaders, because these leaders are all selling out their countrymen to participate in these other combinations, as our founding fathers called these things, combinations and oligarchies. And they're practicing private governance under the guise of representing their own nations. They're participating in extra constitutional, supranational, supra meaning above nations, extra constitutional outside the Constitution, extra constitutional, supranational private governance. That's what this is.
Boy, good terminology there too. It's not intrigue because it's not a secret.
No.
But it is all that other stuff. It's open crime. It's crime in your face, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I'm going to look up supranationalism, just to be precise on it. Here it is: supranational, having power or influence. There's that word, influence, that transcends national boundaries or governments. Supranational,
yes.
Law, SUPRA, national, supranational. So
good
you'll
term.
notice it says having power or influence.
Now, yes.
It's interesting there. Power and influence are not necessarily the same thing.
That's right. And here's another thing, though. Power, yes, and influence are not authority. Neither one of those are authority. So they don't have to have authority in any of it. They're just exercising power, and exercise of power without authority is tyranny.
Right, and influence can come from private or public actors. It can come from state actors or what the think tanks call non-state actors, like terrorists and whatnot. A person can be influential. You might be somewhat influential on your radio show, and I'm try to be influential on my radio show. You don't necessarily have to have a lot of power to be influential, but having power can make you more influential.
Absolutely.
And so, or someone influential may not have political power, but they may have influence in other arteries of society. So these people,
sure,
are, like you say, they don't have the authority, but they'll abuse power without authority, which is tyranny, and they'll try and exert influence, transcending national boundaries or governments, under supranationalism, having public spectacles that are really private meetings. I mean, obviously, the agenda for COP26, the climate agenda going on right now, the climate summit, which started yesterday, October 31st, and runs through November 12th in Glasgow, Scotland. Obviously, the menu, you might say, the agenda, Ron, would have been prepared largely, if not totally, in private.
Yes, so, absolutely. Yeah.
And there's no legislative or constitutional authority whatsoever to engage in these sorts of things.
Yeah. I just wonder where they get all this. They act like that's all within their purview of authority to be doing. I don't know anything in the Constitution that talks about weather, talks about temperature of the planet, natural occurrences. I just think that whole thing is insanity to be dealing with it, and they're up to no good. That could have no good when there's as much a dereliction of duty and omission of duty all over the world, and especially here in America. And he's off over there worrying about the temperature of the planet. I'm sorry, that guy needs to be put in a rubber room.
Yeah, no doubt. I was reading the Washington Times, and they're not the most friendly to Democratic presidents or to globalists, internationalists like Biden. And we have to remember that these people, at least a number of Republicans and most Democrats, they call themselves Democrat or Republican strictly for election and re-election purposes. By and large, they are internationalists, transnationalists, or supranationalists. They don't want people thinking about those terms, so they use the familiar donkey or elephant, Democrat or Republican tags, because as you know, Ron, the way to solve our problems is just elect the right guy, and everything's going to go just fine. Now, Trump did make a little bit of headway here, there, and everywhere, but what Trump proved is two things. He's capable of making some appreciable and decent changes, but he also proved that the savior on the white horse in and of itself is not a savior.
That's right. And no matter how good he was, just think if what if he would have been even better, he still would have been defeated in the election, whether it been by hook or crook, or by even lawful. I'm not so sure he wasn't defeated as a result of the power of the mass media cartel. But even with the voting system we have, he could have been corruptly voted out.
Yes, you're right. In other words, they may have thrown more dirt on Trump's presidential political grave. They may have ginned the numbers up. But with the mass media cartel fooling so many people so much of the time, pretty much proving P.T. Barnum was right, then you could have a few ginned up numbers, a little bit of fraud, but no more fraud than you have to have, and allow the media to fool the voters into the rest and to conduct the classic operation of influencing people to vote themselves into slavery.
Yes.
And this is it, but we got a couple minutes before the first break, but Washington Times, Biden arrives at Glasgow summit with big promises on climate despite legislative losses. The main news here, the quickie, is that Biden doesn't appear to have the legislative backing to achieve his goals, but get this, they're going for greenhouse gas emissions. They want to cut them to 50% below 2005 levels by 2030. So less than 10 years, they want greenhouse gas emissions to be 50% below the 2005 levels. Number one, that for all intents and purposes is impossible. Number two, how could you possibly measure that? How would you know in a genuine certified way that you have numerically achieved that goal? And then, of course, why would you want to? Because carbon dioxide is not a poison.
Yeah, remember that meeting we went to, too, on the climate change that G. Edward Griffin put on in Arizona?
Yes.
They were even saying there that the carbon dioxide is good. You need it. You don't want to be getting rid of all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. The plants and the trees absorb it. That's why they're high in carbon. And then they produce oxygen through photosynthesis, and that adds to the oxygen. And that's the balance that God gave us in nature.
Right.
And they only focus largely on CO2. Once in a while, they mention methane, but CO2 is the gas of life. It is one of the chief gases of life itself. We are,
right,
after all, carbon-based life forms. Maybe Mr. Biden needs to read his 8th grade science textbook again. Apparently that's the one he's using. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses here. Yes, it is the 1st of November, 2021. And as usual, I'm joined by Ron Avery, co-commentator. We usually do a video simulcast at livestream.com/Ron Avery. However, we're not doing that today. I expect to return to that Wednesday when my expected guest is Scott Tipps of the National Health Federation, editor of Health Freedom News. A very worthy and insightful commentator on all matters in terms of health, overregulation or misregulation of it by government authorities, you name it. I understand also that we have a caller. I really like to take callers after the bottom of the hour so I give them more time. I'm going to ask the caller to hold on, and I'll get that caller right after the ads at the bottom of the hour and be a little bit more fair with the time. And so, Ron, I just want to mention some housekeeping items. I was just digging through my office today, Ron, and the county sheriff, America's Last Hope, the event that we covered and made a video documentary of, you might say, a video record of this past February of this year, late February, and it was the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office that put that out, the County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And I just want to remind those listening live and on the archive, Ron, that you can still access the video that we did of the entire conference. Remind listeners, if you would, how to do that.
Okay. You just go to mixandstream.com, M-I-X, capital N, like a Nancy, stream.com. And you'll find a link right there on the main page, right in the middle or over on the right-hand column. It's the top one, and you'll see it there. And you click on that and just follow. I think there's one other link you follow after that, and it takes you to the videos. And it does cost $45. And we have Mark and I did that. We went over there and did that. On a contract with them, and we have the right to sell those videos for 1 year, which is going to be up February the 28th, I think, or February, early February or something. And we split that with that organization, with a Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association. They get half, and we get half for doing it. So if you buy it, you're helping two different groups. You help us with our radio show and our future live streams of important events, and you also help them. So we'd sure appreciate it if you would do that.
Absolutely. It's like a long-term video rental, ladies and gentlemen. You get the access that you need. You'll see how it works. If there's any questions at all, you can get a hold of Ron or I through the station. Very important. Of course, we might as well mention it too, that you go to republicbroadcasting.org and go to show schedule. And Ron's show, Tuesdays, Thursdays, The Search for a Lawful Government. This show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Stop the Presses. And there's Liberty Stickers links for both Ron's show and my show. And through those links, you can buy bumper stickers that promote our respective shows and promote RBN at the same time. Very inexpensive, but very high quality. So that's two ways you can support in a lesser way and then in a little larger way, ways that you can support what we do, the Constitutional Sheriff's Group, RBN. These are the big players in the alternative media and other organizations that are really making a difference in our world at this extremely pivotal and very trying time in human history. So thanks for listening on that, and we'll get to the caller right after the bottom of the hour. But Ron, yeah, so here we sit with our fearless so-called leader, our pretender-in-chief, our imposter-in-chief, you might say, some believe that, in Scotland, attending this supranational conference. And so all these leaders of all these countries who have had their countries in different stages of COVID lockdowns are now putting the climate change thing. You notice that it was really on the back burner for quite a while as the COVIDocracy grew, but now they're bringing it back out with a vengeance. And there's actually a slight connection there. And the slight connection is that they don't want you breathing too heavily. You know, you might have COVID, so they want you to wear a mask, but they also have hinted around that, you know, too many people on Earth inhaling and exhaling is too much carbon dioxide when they exhale. So it's almost like they're trying to gag humanity in two different ways, symbolically, well, if not literally.
Isn't it ironic, too, that you get, what do they call it, hypercapnia, which is too much carbon dioxide in your system by wearing a mask? And here they are fighting carbon dioxide, then they want to wrap your face up so that you breathe more of it. I mean, that's contradictory right on its face.
Yeah, good pun, contradictory on its face. Oh, man, you're the punster today, Ron. Hey, well, very good. We'll be back for the caller and other callers. Feel free to call in. We'll be right back.
A single smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Yeah, from the Little Bighorn to the Rio Grande, it seems we've seen the last lemonade stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper routes, if you can't trade in bulk, you get muscled out.
Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses here, November 1st, 2021. As noted, we do have a caller, Tim from Washington. Hopefully you're still there.
Yes. Always a great show. You're a must-listen-to show. I appreciate that. You're going to give me just a little time, because this is like a big idea. In fact, it's the biggest one as far as political remedies. Anyways, I'm glad both of you are on, because both of you got your head in the game. You're sort of part of the A team, if you like, or A string. If you're talking about a football game, you're on the front line. And so, being a connoisseur of alternative radio, as well as doing radio myself, I noticed one common denominator in almost all alternative radio. And that is, it seems to be all about talky-talky, looky-looky. It's never about an ultimate solution. And when I talk about an ultimate solution, I'm talking about the 435 congressional conservative councils. Why nobody will get together, and basically what a council is, a congressional council is, all of the activists in that particular magisterial district or congressional council, they come together, and by two-thirds vote, they figure out what is the best way forward. So it doesn't matter if you're a pro-life activist or a Second Amendment activist or an anti-immigration activist. You form a council within that congressional district, and then you figure out, well, what is the most important thing we need to do? And so, but nobody does that. Nobody will go for the solution. They cannot survive a congressional conservative council within that district where all the activists come together and they operate as one. And nobody does that because it's not their kingdom. It's not their ministry. It's not their business. There's no profit in it. And so the communists have just basically walked in openly before us all, stole the landslide election, and said, what are you going to do about it? And they're looting us, and now they're getting ready to probably take us to war. What they've done with the injection, they're involved in mass murder, and nobody's forming any of these congressional conservative councils. Everybody talks. It doesn't matter who you are, Ted Brewer, Rick Wiles, it doesn't matter. They're not going to touch it. They won't actually put their neck on the line and says, yeah, I'm going to form a congressional conservative council in my district and actually do something about it. And so, you know, so what's the solution? Go ahead.
It's interesting. Jason Mangum and I appreciate what you're saying, last spring, in earnest this past spring, formed something called Liberty Forum here in South Texas that is not unlike what you're describing. Maybe it's a little bit more loose-knit, and I'd like to describe what a CCP is.
Is it another kingdom? Right, but I'm saying, is it another kingdom like the Christian Coalition or a Moral Majority? Is it just another one of those, pyramidical? Because I'm talking about a circle. I'm not talking about a pyramid.
It's not pyramidal, no. Whether it's circular or not, I guess I need to know more about what a CCC is, a Congressional Conservative Council, so one species can be compared to another species of groupings, you might say. In short, or in relatively brief terms, what is it? How would it work?
Basically, all of the people that live in that particular congressional district, or magisterial district, that's the actual term, they come together. They could be pro-life, they could be gun, anti-immigration, doesn't matter. They come together and they form a council. First off, they put all the list of names of all the people who are the actual players on the field. And you, as a direct activist, you know full well the power of one activist, sort of like Popeye on InfoWars, who used to be there. You know, he took 5,000 DVDs about loose change and basically passed them out in the Texas A&M. I mean, one activist is very powerful. Anyways, these activists come together. By two-thirds vote, they decide who's going to be on the council, who's not, and then they decide, well, what's the most important thing? Well, the first thing the council's going to do is going to say, wait a minute, we've got to fix the voting in this congressional district. We cannot have this electronic voting. What do we need to do to make sure we restore at least an honest and fair election process? And then they basically make a decision on a plan on how to implement that. And then what happens is the militia in the other parts of the congressional district or even the state, they will watch that council. And when they see either that council being locked up or being targeted or whatever they basically have decided, then they will decide, now wait a minute, this is what we're going to enforce. Basically, these are the people that actually do care about what's going on. So it's not a council by the electorate. It's a council by the activist elite, people like yourselves. It's people like
that
you.
That is very similar to what we are doing, although I think we could do more with it. There's been some setbacks for reasons I don't need to go into it, and I really shouldn't. But the Liberty Forum that Jason and I formed is very much like that. It's people with different interests and different issues that they are well focused on, coming together and pooling their efforts and meeting and having a speaker or two and having a meeting, but discussing the key issues of the day, and then people, according to their interests and specialties, break down into small groups, and then they carry out activism of whatever sort along their areas of knowledge and expertise. So there, with Liberty Forum, there's something quite similar. In Michigan...
Yeah, but what you're lacking, I can tell you what you're lacking, is that each one of these people that are part of the Liberty Forum, all they have to do is like a half page of who they are and what they're about, and then everybody gets basically a copy of who is submitted, and then you take a two-thirds vote on who should be in and who should be out. It is the vote. It is the structure that you're not forming. You need to form up a structure by a vote. Okay, you're an activist. Who are you? What do you do? You know, what's in your head? What have you paid? You know, somebody like me who's been locked up illegally 34 times for political and religious free speech. Somebody says, "Wow, look at all the badges that guy's got. He's got a chest full of medals." Okay, what's he about? Alrighty, he's in. But based on what both you and your other co-host I have talked about over the many months, and you are a must listen to. I do listen to you all the time. You guys would be in. I would vote you in a heartbeat, no question. And so once you get that, once you form that council, once you take that initial vote by two-thirds vote, because you don't want it 51-49, it's not a majority, you're hopefully there's some spirituality connected to it to where it's actually the Holy Spirit, which is actually governing people. That's where you get the two-thirds vote. When you get an overwhelming majority that says, yeah, this is the best thing that we need to do, then you move forward. But nobody does.
Interesting.
It. Nobody.
Leave your email with Julie, with the board ops. Before you hang up, leave your email with her. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, thank you. Quick question is, now, where is the point of contact between the congressional council you're talking about and the government that we are supposed to have?
What do you mean, the point of contact?
Well, I mean, what is the authority and power of this congressional conservative council thing that you're creating? I mean, what kind of authority does it have to impact anything? I mean, you know, we already have a party system, you know, which they, come up with platforms and elect people and do that kind of thing. And so what is the purpose of this council?
Okay, the purpose is to, in other words, to focus direct action in a particular congressional district on what the most important thing is. For instance, the council comes together and they go, look, we've got to go to paper balloting. And they all take a vote, and by two-thirds vote or more, they say, okay, this is what we need to do. Then somebody, once you put that out there, it'll probably be somebody that's in the militia in the congressional district. Then he'll go to whoever's in charge of the voting and go, look, these electronic machines, this is not acceptable. And, you know, even if it's to the sheriff. And of
okay, so what you're saying, it's a local control system. It controls a local congressional district. In that district, it just says this is how it's going to be.
That's right. And so the militia person goes to the sheriff and goes, look, you need to get rid of these electronic voting machines. It's already been decided. This is illegal. And the sheriff's going to say, who are you? And I want to meet who's basically, who is this council? Well, they're saying, well, that's why I came to talk to you. We're letting you know. And the sheriff's going to say, well, wait a minute. What is this group? You're telling me that all of a sudden I'm in jeopardy of law if I keep on with this illegal voting system? That's correct. Well, who are these people? And so you can see where it's going to go. But at the end of the day, you cannot stop the power of a congressional conservative council. You're too powerful. We all know what a direct activist can do. I mean, at night, I can print up a copy of a letter, and I can go out in a neighborhood, and I can drop 250, 300 copies on a lawn, their nice manicured suburban lawn, one letter with the direct links, you can do immense damage. You can go to a newspaper stand.
I believe I got it.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me say this, though. Let's say that we all believe in the conservative council that property taxes are unlawful in America, and we decide that in our congressional district there will be no property taxes. Now you're coming up against state law in your congressional district in the state of Texas, whatever, wherever it is. Do you think that would have any success?
Well, Ron, this is good, because a big brain guy like you, this is the power of a council. It's actually a think tank. Somebody like you, and I don't have the knowledge, but you do, you would say, wait a minute, we got a congressional conservative council. We need to change things on the state level. Maybe all of these congressional councils within this particular state, maybe we need to form a state council and send representatives, basically, that will deal with the state issues, that can deal with the state senators and congressmen. So then all of the different councils say, which member are we going to make part of the state council? And then the state councils, they'll probably form, and that's probably where you'll end up. You'll end up on a national council. They'll say, we need people to deal with the national issues of really what's going on. And then you'll form a national council. But at the heart, it's local. It's the 435 congressional conservative councils. And then from there, you're dealing with 435 think tanks. I mean, once you get these guys together, you're talking IQ levels of, once you add them up, you're dealing with IQs of 10, 20,000. Once you get this think tank going, people like you are going to figure out, okay, what's the correct way to go on dealing with the personal property tax? And then once you get into it and you find out, okay, it's these particular state senators or Congress or state representatives that are causing the problem. Okay, like a laser beam, we're going to focus our whole army on your particular district, and we're going to flood it. Whatever we need to do to get rid of you, we are going to do. We're going to make sure that we got poll watchers everywhere. We're going to basically politically wipe you out because you're not going along with this. And once those politicians see the rise of the councils, they will run because they are dealing with the true blue activist. And of course, I'm going to go into work.
I think I got it. I think it's a good idea. I'd sure like to try it. I just have yet to see anything like that happen.
That's the glory of the council, is that you can do it. Anybody can do it. Nobody's the king. It's the power of the idea, and either people come. So if you want to do it, give out. Look, start with the liberty thing. Where can people in Texas to form the first of the councils? What is the website? Where can they get a hold of the Liberty Texas thing you got? If you want to pick the mantle up, how can they get a hold of you?
Appreciate the call. We do have another caller. I will mention that there's also the Jural, J-U-R-A-L assemblies, particularly in Michigan. I know a guy in the Thumb area, not too far from Ann Arbor, that is involved in one of those. And I don't know enough about Jural assemblies. I'm going to learn more to see how much they stack up. I can see that the Liberty Forum thing that Jason Mangum and I started, and we do worldimpactnews.net together, I can see that there's a definite similarity between that. If you go to libertyforum.us, I'm double-checking the website, it will automatically convert it to americasaved.us, and that includes Liberty Forum, and some of the summits and information that we've had recently, meetings and whatnot, and some resources are listed there. It's the Liberty Forum says, uniting together to protect, preserve, and restore our liberty and freedom. And that could involve, as you say, a whole host of issues, national level, state level, county level. Property taxes would fall under county and state. To some extent, school districts, because much of what you pay is school taxes. But I appreciate the call, and I'm going to look at Liberty Forum a little harder and also bounce this off of Jason, Tim, and have him compare Liberty Forum to what you're saying. I'll have him listen to the show on the archive today. And as I say, leave your email, if you don't mind, that is, with the board op, and I'll contact you later. So thanks for the call, but definite food for thought there.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's true, there's a lot of non-solution stuff out there, and we need more solution stuff, no doubt about it. It's very easy to comment on stuff without analyzing it and finding a way out, although you need good analysis in order to find your way out. But nevertheless, it can be a merry-go-round for sure. And hopefully Joe from Florida hung on. Are you still there, Joe? We do have another caller, at least we did. Is Joe still there? Hello?
I'm still waiting for the board op.
Hello. Hi, it's Joe from Florida.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you, Mark and Ron? Thanks a lot. I'm a big fan of your show and of RBN. God bless RBN. I had a theory. It's like a legal theory about how to overturn the vaccine mandate that's going on. And I wanted to run it by both of you and see if you thought what I think, which is like it's the key way to maybe overturn this. So really quickly, I have a very good friend of mine who's a Department of Homeland Security employee. And when they first announced the idea of the mandate, what DHS did is they sent to all employees a vaccine survey. On that vaccine survey, they gave you three options. One was yes, I'm vaccinated. Two was no, I'm not vaccinated. And three was I declined to provide my vaccination status. So my friend took option number three. Later, after Biden came back and said he has an executive order, they changed that and they went to all employees again and they said, well, you have to choose either one or two. No longer do you have an option of saying I decline to provide my health status. Now, the way this ties in with the Supreme Court's main decision, where they upheld outrageously, right, an allegedly conservative Supreme Court upheld the state of Maine's ability to deny people a religious exemption. My thing is this, these fights about can the state impose a mandate are all wrong. The premise to overthrow this whole thing, in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, but in my opinion, is to challenge the right and the authority of the state, the government, to ask you what your vaccination status is. In other words, the authority does have no, they have no authority to know what my or your or anybody who they're attempting to, my friend's health status is. They don't actually have the authority to know that. And I think that's the premise. If you start fighting and arguing about, oh, what kind of a mandate, and, you know, even the Supreme Court is now apparently believing they have a right to coerce you into taking a vaccine. But if you challenge their right to ask you the question, it's my contention they don't even have the authority to ask you that question. Just wondering what you guys think about that.
Let me answer real quick, Ron, and I'll let you have more of it. I agree on two levels. They don't have the authority to ask you the question about your health status, about vaccines or anything else, and they simply don't have the authority to enforce a vaccine mandate in general. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I agree that I wouldn't say they don't have authority to ask you anything, but they certainly don't authority. Yeah, to ask you about your health condition or medications
right.
you've had or haven't had. And they don't have authority, certainly, to mandate that you take any medical thing, any procedure.
Exactly. It might even be better for me to say they don't have the authority to know what your vaccination status is. They can ask. And with my friend, where he was all originally given the opportunity to decline the status, that, to me, is the giveaway, that they know that. They're since trying to pretend that they didn't give that right. But the fact that they even offered, in this government agency questionnaire, the chance to ask you for decline is a big problem.
I see exactly what you're saying, Joe. The third question revealed that it's almost an admission that they don't have authority to even ask you the question.
Yeah, you know, And this comes back to what we were saying the other day, Ron, when I called into your show and then you emceed for me and I called into my own show when I was on the road last Thursday and Friday, respectively. People are focused on personal choice. Well, I can't force you to get the vaccine, and it's up to every person. They can choose not to get it, or they can choose to get it. I can't force someone else to get it, but I can get it myself. Now, that's not untrue. That's true. But it's very secondary, and they're trying to make it sound like that's the primary argument when it's not. The primary argument is the government, state and federal, simply does not have the authority to inquire of your vaccine status or medical status in general, and they do not have the authority to force you to take any medical procedure, potion, medicine, whatnot. Every hospital has to provide you with a medical bill of rights. There's such a thing as a medical bill of rights on top of it all. And so they're trying to get us to argue along the wrong premise. The burden of proof is on the government to prove they have the authority, and they don't have the authority. So they're trying to get everybody just to say, well, you know, I can opt out, but maybe I won't be employed and I'll lose my shirt financially. And they're simply trying to boil it all down to personal choice. And then once they do that, they'll begin to erode that and pick away at that. But if they don't have the authority, then, and if that were allowed to stand and become plain to everyone, then everything else would be a secondary argument and this whole thing would fall apart.
Absolutely.
And so the caller is to be commended for raising a great point. There's kind of another dimension here. The government doesn't have the authority to make you take a medical procedure, but they also don't have the authority to inquire of your vaccine status in this particular instance. And so the government is trying to get everyone to give the government itself more power through ignorance. Because if you don't realize they have the authority and you kind of grant them that leeway, then it's almost like they're assuming authority they don't really have. The camel's nose comes all the way in the tent, not just part of the way.
It's my belief that's the way this gets overturned. Thank you both, guys. Keep up the great work. I'm a great big fan. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for being a fan. You're absolutely welcome. And yeah, we got RBN's a tough audience, Ron, because it's sometimes the listeners are smarter than we are. That's not so hard to do. on the first caller, again, I'm going to look at Liberty Forum and talk to Jason about it. You know, I've often wondered, and this is not getting into it because we don't have time, but there's also the take over the precinct tactic where constitutionalists become precinct chairs and precinct captains, and at the absolute grassroots level, they take over what's left of the party apparatuses, and
they convert
it into a more constitutional system. But thanks for listening, everybody. Scott Tipps of the National Health Federation Health Freedom News is the expected guest on Wednesday. Everybody have a great 1st of November. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, callers. Stay tuned for the next show. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.